We're holding Mishlei, the 19th chapter, Pasuk Yud. So the Pasuk says, Lo nave, it is not nice, it is not fitting, lichsil, when the fool has tanug, has pleasure. Because when the fool has pleasure, so he says, okay, must be I'm doing good, right? If I'm enjoying life, so must be I'm on the right path. So it's not fitting when a fool has pleasures. Af, certainly, ki le'eved mishol besarim, that it isn't fitting when you find a servant that he's in charge of the nobles. Because we're assuming that if a person is a servant, then being a servant, he acquired negative traits. And when he rules over those that should really be ruling, he's going to force them to follow his lead. When a fool has pleasures, so he feels, I'm okay, and he might even cause other people to feel, oh, maybe it makes sense to behave like him. Sometimes you see that. A wealthy person comes on the scene, and he's a boor. He has no manners. But for some reason, when he behaves a certain way, other people start emulating him. They say, well, hey, you see, it got him success, so maybe it's legitimate. But it's even worse when he has a position of authority, when he's ruling over those that should really be ruling. Sechel Adam, Pasuk Yud Aleph, He'ericha Po. It's a man's brains, it's a man's wisdom that causes him to have patience, to be slow in angering. V'tifarto, and a person's glory, avor al pasha, is when he can forgo things. When a person has the ability to punish, and a person says, okay, I'll take it. You see that often with parents. You see that with mechanchim. Sometimes a kid really has it coming. But a parent can say, you know what? He's tired. So a kid could be absolutely crazy. And the parent says, yeah, but you know what? He's tired. Now is not the time to deal with it. If he weren't tired, he wouldn't be behaving this way. So in more serious situations, a king or some other person in a position where they could punish, they should recognize that their glory is when they can forgo that which was done wrong to them. Chazal say that when we are willing to forgo that which has wronged us, then God is willing to forgo that which we, so to speak, wrong Him. Now, of course, this can be taken, like any trait, out of hand. This doesn't mean a person should let people step all over him. It just means, in general, that there is this aspect. Naham kakefil za'af melech. The anger of a king, za'af melech, is like the rumble, the naham is the roar of a lion. So when the lion roars, that we say that the king's anger is similar to the lion's roaring. And when a king has goodwill with a person, it's like the dew that falls on the grass that makes it grow. If a person finds favor in the eyes of the king, so then the king can make him successful. If you have connection with people who are in high power, in positions of power, so one has to recognize that they have a certain position and they can do things with that position, for good or for bad. There's a saying, why is it that rabbis give honor to wealthy people and wealthy people don't give honor to rabbis? So Rabbi Bar Ilan often says this, I don't think it's his own. He says, because the rabbi values the potential of the wealthy person. He values what he has. But the wealthy person doesn't know to value the potential of the rabbi, what the rabbi has. So the truth is, there is such halacha. We're supposed to give a certain amount of honor to a person because he has wealth. If he has wealth, then God entrusted him with that power to do things with it. And we have to recognize that it can go both ways. A king, in this case, a king's anger is dangerous like the roar of a lion. And by the same token, when a king like someone, so then it can make him flourish, just like dew makes grass flourish. Havot le'aviv ben kesil. A son who's a fool. He is havot. He is breaking for his father. He causes his father to lose, to be broken, so to speak. He could break his car, he could break his record player, his CD player, his computer. He's a source of problems, of damage to his father. V'delef tored midyanei isha. And a fight with a woman is like drops of rain that are dripping into the house. You sit in the house, you try to have a meal, and suddenly you have a drop on your head, another drop, a drop on your shoulder, you start being cold, you don't want to sit there and eat. By the same token, when a woman is constantly fighting with her husband or with other people in the house, it could even be guests. If you're ever a guest in a home where the wife is upset and she's yelling, so even though she's not yelling at you, you won't feel comfortable, you won't want to go back there again. She has the potential of making the home a comfortable home or making the home a miserable home. So Chazal tells, if it's midyanei isha, if you have fights with a woman, if a wife is going to be yelling at her husband, yelling at her children, she makes the home like a person who tries to sit in a home that has a leak. That everywhere he sits, he feels there's dripping on him. He's uncomfortable in the home and he doesn't want to stay there. Bayit vahon, nachalat avot. A house, wealth, a person may inherit them from his forefathers. Ume Hashem isha maskalet. But a woman, that's a knowledgeable woman, that's a worthwhile woman, that can only come from Hashem. That a person can't inherit. A person can have a good mother, a person can have a good grandmother, but who his wife is going to be, that's determined by Hashem. We daven to Hashem that we should be zochet in isha maskalet, the wise wife. But that's something that's in Hashem's hands. Excuse me. Atzla, laziness, tapil tadema, causes a person to be sleepy, to go into a deep slumber. If a person sits down and he's got nothing to do with his time, so suddenly he can sleep 8 hours a night, 10 hours a night. When a person's lazy, so he could sleep a lot. Laziness causes us to be tired, to be sleepy. The nefesh remia, and someone who tries to make his money in deceit, so he's working. Sometimes we used to marvel at the cheaters in our class. They'd work harder than those who study to cheat. Sometimes you look at them and say they're geniuses, the different ways they figured out how to cheat. But they're working it to cheat, to be deceitful. Tirav. In the end, the Navi says they'll go hungry. Because you can't always fool people. Sometimes you can get away with it, and if your sole livelihood is based on fooling, so then in the long run, that's not a way to make a living. Now, this pasuk is also a reference to how a person learns. If a person learns and he puts his work into it and he builds himself up from scratch and he's building and building. Sorry. So this pasuk is really a reference to how a person learns. If a person builds his learning step after step, so then when someone asks him, so he'll know his stuff. But if he was lazy, he took shortcuts, he listened to what the other guy was saying, halacha is, he found ways of figuring out the things he thinks he needs to know, but he didn't really learn it. So then when people ask him, he'll really be like he's sleeping, he won't have the answer. And when a person tries to be deceitful in his Torah, he'll learn a little bit here, a little bit there, but he's not consistent. He's deceitful. Yeah, when he has a free mind, he learns a little bit here, he learns a little bit there, but there's no consistency. So then ultimately, he'll forget his learning and he won't have it. He won't have it firmly in his hand. Shomer mitzvah, shomer nafsho. If someone watches the mitzvah, so really he's watching his own life. He's watching over his soul. Bozed rachav yamut. And if one mocks his ways, he's not worried about what's the right way to live, what should I really be doing with my time. He just lets things go. In Hebrew they say zoreg. So then, bozed rachav yamut. Ultimately he'll die, and what will he have in his hands? Unfortunately, we had once a guy here in the Machon who came here after he grew up in a completely irreligious home. His parents were totally detached. They didn't know almost anything. And after learning here for a while, he sent his father an email with the video of what we're doing here at Machon Meir. And his father wrote him back a short letter, which he writes, "Son, I sat down with your mother the other night to look at the video, and we watched the video and we cried. You're fulfilling the dream I never did. You're learning the Torah that I never grasped, I never spent the time to know, and be strong, continue in your way." It's sad to reach such a letter. I mean, it's nice that the father wrote it to the son. At the same time, you feel bad for the son, for the father. The Navi is warning us, ultimately yamut, a person ultimately dies. If a person doesn't take time to think about the path he's on during his lifetime, so his life will end. There's no extension. At some point, it's over. So we got to take advantage of the time. We have to weigh our ways and decide what is the right way to live our lives. Malvei Hashem chonen dal. If you want to give God a loan, so to speak, so then the way to do it is having compassion over the poor. What does that mean? Hashem says, you gave him a loan, it's like you gave me a loan. I owe you one. Not only the poor man owes you one. You helped the poor, you gave me a loan. What does that mean? The Gemara tells us there was a man by the name Binyamin HaTzadik. Binyamin HaTzadik, he was in charge of the Kupat Tzedakah. He had the tzedakah in the city. They'd collect tzedakah. It was part of the taxes. And he was in charge of giving it out. One year, it was a bad year. There was a famine. And a woman comes in, barely standing, clutching her stomach, and she begs him, "I'm a widow. I have 7 children at home. I want you to please give me something for my kids." And he tells her, "I promise I have nothing left. The bank is closed. I've given the last penny we had here to give the tzedakah." At which point she said, "If you don't give me something now, me and my children are going to die. That's it. There's no food in the house. There's nothing." And Binyamin went, and he himself wasn't the wealthy man. He himself was in charge of the tzedakah. It's not like he had the money to give the tzedakah. They put him in charge of the tzedakah that the city collected. He went and took his own money in a year of famine, in a time when money was scarce, and he saved her life and her 7 children's life. And Chazal tell us that there came a point where Binyamin was lying sick in bed and he was about to die. And in heaven, the angels came and said, "Ribon Shom, you started the world with one man, right? Adam and Rishon." That means that any person that saves any human being, it's as though he saved the whole world. Because you see, every human being has the potential, over time, to be the whole world. Because the whole world began with one human being. So Binyamin HaTzadik, he saved this woman and her 7 children. He should have an extension of his life. And in heavens, they accepted that claim. They extended his life by many, many years, corresponding to the Almana and her children that he saved. So, what happened there? He had compassion over the poor, and now he was able to collect his loan, so to speak. God says, when you have compassion over the poor, it's as though you're giving me a loan. And when the time comes, you'll be able to collect. When I was in America, I met my great aunt, my grandmother's sister. And she told me a beautiful story. She told me that her father was a mohel, and he was a wealthy businessman. And when she was 5 years old, he called her into his study one day. And her grandfather, this wasn't her father, this was her grandfather, Chaim Fischel. Chaim Fischel Rosemary. He called her into his study one day, and he said, "Every Thursday, I'm going to have over here a basket with food. I want you to go to this family and bring a basket, and that family and bring a basket. And don't forget, because if you ever forget, those families will not have what to eat on Shabbos. I'm going to leave you these baskets every Thursday. Every Thursday you come here, pick up these baskets, and bring them to the families. And it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to do it every Thursday, regardless of the weather. And if you don't do it, the whole family won't have what to eat Shabbos. So you have to remember and you have to do it. But I promise you," he told her, "I promise you that in the schus that you do this, whenever you'll ever have a time of need, whenever you'll have a situation that things will be dire, if you turn your eyes up to Hashem, Hashem will answer you. I promise you that in this chus, whenever you need to, Hashem will be with you." She told me, she did it. She was faithful to it. She took it very seriously. Even though she was only 5 years old.
And then the Holocaust came. And she found herself sometimes scrambling for food and not finding anything. And she said every time she was in a tough situation, she'd turn her eyes up to her Ribono Shel Olam and say, Ribono Shel Olam, my father promised me. My grandfather promised me. He promised that I will never be in a situation that I need your help and you'll forsake me because I did that. And she said every time it worked. Now this woman that's not too religious, I don't even know if she keeps Shabbos nowadays. Like, today she's not very religious, but this is a story she told me. This isn't what a great believer, maybe she is a great believer, but this isn't like a woman who you'd say, well, she goes to shul 3 times a day and who knows what. No, but nonetheless, this is the story she told. She said every time she would turn her eyes up to heaven and the promise was kept. So the Pasuk is promising us, Chonin Dal, if someone has compassion over the poor, God says, you're giving me the loan. Now I owe you one, God says. Ugmulo yishalemno, and God says, I'll pay you back, I'll pay back what a person's owed, what a person's owed. Yasel bincha ki yesh tikva ve'el hamito al tisa nafshecha. Now this verse has different meanings, different understandings. The simple meaning of the word is Yasel bincha, rebuke your son. Ki yesh tikva, because there's still hope. Ve'el hamito, and to his death, al tisa'at nafshecha, don't hope for his death. Don't reach a point where you give up and you say, okay, he'll die this way, that's it. No. There's always hope, and you always have to rebuke. Now this this can also be understood a different way. Don't hit him in a way that you'll kill him. If you have to rebuke him, but don't kill him. And both have truth to them. I once had a guy, we were good friends, he was dating a girl, and his family member said, don't marry her. So he called me up and he said, what do you think? I said, I never met her, how could I have an opinion? Your family that met her said no. So he said, yeah, but I think I should marry her. So I said, well, why do your family members say not? So he said, they say she's not good looking enough. So I said, you're serious? He said, yeah. They say she's nothing special. She's a good girl, but nothing extraordinary. So I said, I don't know. I don't understand. If that's all they're saying, I don't understand how they say not to marry her. I don't know. I mean, what does it mean she's not extraordinary? Even if you tell me her looks are standard, but you like her looks, and you tell me she's not the greatest girl in the world, but you like her, so that's good. But they think she's not extraordinary. You think she's extraordinary. Marry her. So we spoke once, we spoke twice, and he broke off with her. And then 3 months later, he calls me up. He left the country. And he tells me, tell me, do I marry her or do I not? So I said, I never met her. All your family that's met her said not. I never met her. You're asking me, how can I say anything? So he said, okay, I'm setting up a meeting with her. I want you to meet her and give me your opinion about her. So I said, okay, what's one meeting worth? Your whole family spent all the time there. He said, I don't care. He said, go, I want you to meet her. I want to hear what you have to say. Okay, guy asks, you know, it's a decision of his lifetime. I didn't know what it was worth. So he sets up a meeting. I go down, I meet the girl. We spend all of 1 minute, 2 minutes. Where I met her at the entrance to her office. She went down to her ride. So we spoke from the entrance to her office till the car. We took the elevator down together. She went to the car. I come back home. He calls me up. He says, well, how'd it go? So I said, well, what kind of opinion can I have after 2 minutes? But if you want to know my opinion, if you want to know my opinion after 2 minutes, I'll tell you my opinion after 2 minutes. But I knew this guy's history. I knew all the girls he had dated beforehand. And they were really bad. I mean, really, really bad. So I remember at the time asking myself, is this going to be worth the time? Is there any chance any good is going to come out of this? What am I wasting my time for? The guy already left her. All his family says not for her. I can't have an opinion after 2 minutes. But maybe you know what? He's asking my opinion, so I should at least tell him what I think. So I told him, look, I have to tell you, we both know your history. We both know the types of girls you dated before. This girl outscores every girl you've ever dated before. And you know what? If you're going to listen to your parents, you're not going to marry her. I don't know if you're ever going to get married. You like her. You think she's great. And you know what? I met her. I don't see any problem with her from as much as you can say from 2 minutes. You know what? I don't give too much weight to what I'm saying after 2 minutes. But if you give any weight to this, then I have to tell you, I saw nothing wrong with the girl. She was dressed tzanua. She was nice. We spoke. She seemed intelligent. You can't judge a person by 2 minutes. But And I kept saying, I can't judge by 2 minutes, but if you're asking me, this is what I have to say. We have pizza. You want to go get a slice? So I spent 45 minutes talking to the guy and telling him, I don't see any legitimacy in what your parents say. And as I hung up the phone, my wife said, was that a good conversation? And I said, I don't know. I hope I don't get the Shemaim and they'll tell me, you're going to pay a price for every minute of Bittul Torah in that conversation. Because like, what's the odds I'm going to get anywhere? And 2 weeks later, he calls me up and says, I'm engaged. He hopped on a plane. He came here. He surprised her, gave her a ring. Today, they're married with a child. And that was a tremendous lesson to me. Because I said to myself, what are the odds I'm going to get anywhere with this guy? But what are the odds? I mean, his whole family's saying no. And I'm not even saying yes. I'm just saying I don't hear legitimacy in why they're saying no. And if and according to everything you're saying, I don't see why you would leave your yes. I mean, this is a guy that his family confused him out of his degree. They confused him out of everything good he almost did in his life. Everything he almost did good, his family would enter the picture and confuse him. He never ended up with a degree. He didn't end up with a business. Everything he did good, they'd come in and they'd mess up his life. So now they're messing up his shidduch. I said, look, I don't know. I don't hear. The pasuk is telling us there's always hope. Sometimes you reach a point where you say, what's the hope? I was standing there in the phone conversation and I remember asking myself, why waste my time? Why talk? It's over. No, you talk. You do talk. Yasel bin haki yesh tikva. Sometimes about a person's own son, a person's willing to give up. And I've seen this many times. A person's tried and tried and tried, and at some point he says, okay, it's over. What can I do? Pasuk tells us, no, it's never over. It's never over. You always have to have hope. There is always hope. You guys remember I told you the story about the woman whose son was taken into the Russian army, right? In the time that they were abducting children and taking them to the army, and the woman would sit day and night crying over Tehillim, and finally she passed away, and the child was told, your mother passed away. He went to her home, and all he found was a table and a Tehillim soaked with tears. And when he saw that, that moved him. He was Chozer B'tshuva. He changed his whole life. He said, why was my mother crying all these years? Why is this book of prayers soaked, saturated with tears? So her whole life, she didn't see her prayers answered. But there's still hope. The pasuk isn't telling us believe there is hope. The pasuk is telling us a metzius. It's telling us a fact. There is hope. There is hope. Yasel mincha. If one can rebuke his son, so rebuke him. Tell him what you think. For there is hope. Ve'el hamito al tisa nafshecha. I was in a car in this trip the day before I flew out of here, and the guy was driving with windshield wipers that wouldn't move the rain. And he told me, you know, I have good wipers in the back, but I just bought this car, and the guy before me told me that the wipers never work well, that he's changed wipers, and they just don't work well. There's something wrong with the car. And we're driving, and I see we're going down the FDR. We're flying at 50 miles an hour. There's full traffic, and we can't see where we're going. So I told him, I said, look, what do you say we pull over, and maybe we just try to change wipers? This is like Sakanas Nefashis. We could die here. And as I was saying it, I was telling myself, stop being crazy. The guy's had the wipers in his trunk for so long. He didn't do it. He's not going to do it just because you told him. Why don't you do it? 2 seconds later, he pulls into a garage and he says, okay, we'll do it. And then he changed the wipers and the wipers worked well. And he said, you know, thanks for telling me to do it because I would have never done it. And I was telling myself, you're just being a nag. Why are you nagging the guy? I said, yeah, but it's my life too. I'm in the car. So I was sitting there asking myself, should I say something or not? I said, you know what? Yasel bin chaki yesh tikva. Say something. There is hope. If you didn't say anything, there's no hope. So sometimes, yeah, you have to say something. The guy switched the wipers, and we don't know why the seller said they didn't work. They worked fine. And sometimes the alternative is, really, when a person gives up, what he's saying is, he'll die this way. Fine. It's over. To the death. That's what we're saying. And when we say no, there's what to talk about. And this is what we discussed in our Binyan HaBayit class 3 weeks ago. That when there's no comments going between a husband and a wife, that's not a sign that they've made peace. That's a sign that they've given up on making it a good marriage. That one side says, okay, I got what I could out of it, but a good marriage is never going to be. The only way a person can have a good marriage is if there's care and all the other positive things. And at the same time, there's also a certain back and forth in which we share what we want different. Now, obviously, we had a whole class about how careful one has to be about that and how damaging that can be and how that can ruin a relationship. But we also have to know that it is a part of the life of a relationship. Pasuk Yud Tes. Kidol chema nosei onish. If a person
is a person of anger. He's got great anger, so he's carrying with it the punishment that's going to come for the anger. Ki im tatzil ve'od tosif. Because if a person allows himself to let his anger get the better of him, he's got great anger, so ultimately he's going to carry the punishment for that anger, because ultimately, what's he going to do? He'll be angry at someone and he'll let his anger go. He'll do what he wants to the person. Ki im tatzil. Because when a person has great anger, if you're going to try to get in his way, if you're going to stand and let him get away with it, so then it's only going to get worse. A person has to know that anger is the type of thing which just grows. A person, one, gets angry, he wants to punish the other person. If you try to take him away, ki'im tatzil, you try to save him, vot tosif, he'll get even angrier. Sometimes you see that a person says, oh, you're trying to get in my way, I'll hit you both. What is that? That shows us that the anger is getting better of the person. Ultimately, he's going to pay the price for it. There's another understanding here. Ki im tatzil, if you'll be willing to save someone who you're angry at, there's someone who you're very angry at, and nonetheless you save him when you see something bad about to happen to him, ve'otosif, you'll still add more days of good to your life. And this, I think, is the message of Le Miserable, that a person, when he's willing to forgo his traits, what's the message in the end? He finally has the guy who's been chasing him his whole life and he lets him go. So he adds years of good to his life. Shema Eitza, listen to advice, v'kabel musar, and accept when people rebuke you, leman techam b'achitecha, so that ultimately you'll get wise. If a person's never listening, so he'll never get wise. The only way a person can get wise is if he's open to learn more. So how does one learn more? When people tell him. That's what David HaMelech prided himself in. He said, when my enemies get up and rebuke me, I listen. I have what to learn. I'll get smarter. You want to continue or pause here? We could switch to Tehillim, Shmona Prakim. We could continue another few psukim and finish the chapter. What's the vote? It's not that late. It's only 11:40. What? I think in about 5 to 7 minutes we'll finish the chapter. Okay. Rabot machshavot belev ish. There are many thoughts in a man's heart. Vatzat Hashem itakum. And only God's advice is what ultimately stands. Person thinks, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll get this, I'll get that. All our thoughts, they can go one way. We never know. There was a guy I knew who wanted to marry a girl, and she was having doubts. So he begged her, and she said, I'm not sure. So he pleaded, and she said, I really don't know. And then she said, I need 2 weeks to think about it. And he spent those 2 weeks fasting and crying and standing and davening, and he wouldn't do anything else with his life. He just stood davening all day and all night until he conked out. He'd conk out, sleep till he got koach again, and then start davening again. I'd come to him and I'd see he was fasting. I'd say, you know, you got to live. She can't marry a dead man. And then he married her and found out that life was absolutely miserable and horrible. So here he was, and I always warned him. I said, don't daven for her. You want to daven now for 2 weeks straight? Fine. Daven that Hashem should bring you the right one, not her. Chazal teaches that. The Gemara Moed Katan says, you never daven for her. Why? There are many thoughts in a man's heart, but we don't know what's right. Atzat Hashem itakum. It's God's advice that's what stands. We never know. We don't know what's good for us. Ta'avat Adam chasdo. Ta'avat Adam. Why do people want to have connections with a person? Chasdo. Because of his kindness. Let's not fool ourselves. The only reason someone wants to have something to do with us
is because there's something they want to get from us. And the only reason we want to have to do with someone else is because there's something we get from them. It could be it's a good feeling, it could be it's recognition, it could be many things. But there's an aspect where our soul connection to other people is what we get from them. Ta'avat Adam, why do people want to have anything to do? Why do people want a certain person? Chasdo, because of the kindness, the good things he does to them. Vitov Rash Me'ish Kazav. It's better that a person should be poor than have a friend who lies to him. Someone tells you, I'll do something, and he doesn't do it, that's worse than if you didn't have them all together. When you rely on someone and they don't live up to your expectations, so that's worse. Yir'at Hashem lechayim, v'savea yalin bal yipaked ra. Yir'at Hashem, God-fearingness lechayim, that's for life. Why should one fear God? For life. We sometimes think, if I'm going to live it up, that's when I'm not a God-fearing person. Like today someone told me about a guy who was learning in yeshiva and then discovered he wasn't Jewish. One bright day, he found out he wasn't Jewish. All the years he had been living out as a Jew, he discovered he wasn't Jewish. So what did he do the next morning? Took off his yarmulke, bought a plane ticket to America, and went, and I'm quoting the guy who told the story, he said, quote unquote, to live it up. Is he really living it up? Well, in his mind, in the words of the world, he is. So, a person who has Yirat Hashem, he should know he has Lechayim, that brings him to life, that's the cause for life. B'savea yalin balipaked ra, and a person who is God-fearing will be able to go to sleep satiated, and he won't have to think about the bad. When a person feels like I run the show, so then he has to worry about everything. When a person recognizes he's a God-fearing person, and he recognizes that Hashem is running the show, so then he could go to sleep at night. He's not worried about the bad. He's saying, look, I'm doing my best, so now what Hashem has in mind for me, I don't know anyways. So after daven, things will go well, but I could also sleep at night. I could go to sleep at night satiated, and I don't have to worry about the bad. When a person isn't God-fearing, so then that's very scary. And that's one of the things also in chinuch. A child always tries to break the boundaries. If you let a child break the boundaries, he's fearful, because now he's in charge. So long as you teach a child, there are limits, there are boundaries, I'm in charge, you're not in charge, when you'll grow up, you'll be in charge, but right now you're not in charge, that gives a child a sense of security. He knows that it's not all up to him. When a child feels like he can get away with everything, so then at the end of the day, who's in charge? He's in charge. So that's very scary. That gives a child insecurity, it doesn't give him security. Taman atzel yado batzalachat. When a person is lazy, he can stick his hand into the bowl and gamel pihu lo yishivena, and be too lazy to even bring it up to his mouth. Let's take. Now this might sound like an exaggeration, but it isn't. People reach points of laziness where everything is too difficult. Getting out of bed is too difficult. What? Yeah. Let's take ufeti yarim. When a fool gets hit, so then when the joker gets hit for his joking, so then the fools all take heed, they all take lessons. Pharaoh was hit, Amalek was hit, Yisrael took a lesson and said, oh, I understand God's running the world. He came and became Jewish. But the person who has understanding, it's enough to explain it to him directly, to rebuke him directly, and he understands. If a person comes and he harasses the father, if a son shames his father, so then he's causing the mother to be chased away. The husband turns to the wife and says, this is how you brought up the kids. Ben mevishu machpil. The son can cause great shame within the home. Son has to know that he has responsibility also towards his parents. Sarah, what did she see? She saw Yishmael behaving wickedly. She turned to Avram and said, get rid of Hagar and the boy. Because it didn't start with the boy. It started with Hagar. If the boy is telling Yitzchak, you really come from Abimelech, you don't come from Sarah, you're not going to inherit Avram, you're a bastard anyways, I'm the firstborn, I get double portion. Where do you learn all this from? When Sarah sees the way Yishmael is talking, she says, it's Hagar's fault. And that causes the divorce and sending away of Hagar. When a son is Ben Mavishu Machpir, a son that spoils and causes shame, so he's trying to steal, shame his father, he causes that his mother will be sent away. Chadal Beni Lishmoa Musar. My son, stop lishgot me'imreda. Stop turning away from words of knowledge and listen to the words of rebuke. Ed bilial yalitz mishpat ufir reshaim yevala aven. A witness that is not God fearing, a witness that is a liar, so then he's really, he takes care to say what he is saying carefully so that people will believe him. And the mouths of the wicked, yevala aven, they can figure out ways of being harmful without people noticing it. Recently someone called me up to verify about a shidduch for a guy that I didn't know, so I can't answer. So the guy's rabbi called me up and said, why can't you answer about him? So I said, he came to my class twice. I can't speak about a guy when he came to my class twice. I respect him, he's a nice guy. And he was very, very nice in all the classes. But he was so nice that I wasn't sure if it was real. So I don't know. I didn't want to say I don't know if it's real, but I don't know if it's real. How could I say? They're asking me for a shidduch. When a person's lying, he doesn't come in and say, hey guys, I'm lying. He tries to present things as nicely as possible. So the fact that a person presents things nicely, that doesn't mean we can trust him. Sometimes we want to trust him. You come to a store, you want to buy something, you want to believe the seller. The seller starts telling you, this is a great deal, you buy it, you'll enjoy it, it's great. Fine, you want to believe him because you want to buy it and you want to believe that you're buying something good, but that doesn't mean it's right to believe him. Even when a person's lying, yalitz mishpat, he makes his statements come out good. The fact that they sound good doesn't mean he's telling the truth. Nachonu laleitzim shefatim. Hashem prepares punishments for the jokers, those that say lashon hara, those that make fun of things that are important. Uma lumot legev kesilim. And Hashem prepares punishments that break a person for the backs of the fools. And over here, as always, we have to discuss who are the fools. The fools has to be someone that's more negative than just a fool. Someone who doesn't know, but someone who could know and doesn't know. Someone who's being damaging in allowing himself to remain in this situation of not knowing. And with this we finish the 19th chapter. Bezat Hashem, we'll pick up with the 20th chapter.